Support for this program is provided by Chevron.
President Biden's big push for his so-called human infrastructure plan.
$3.5 trillion spending.
To, among other things, address climate change, expand Medicare, and help struggling families for the next decade.
They took a big step forward this week, but there's still many, many miles to go.
Every major program that President Biden has asked for is funded in a robust way.
It's in our White House?
Yeah.
Does the framework that you all have agreed to, are there specific climate provisions that have been agreed to, or just the idea of making significant investments at this
I think the best thing to say is that all of those provisions are TBD.
Democrats have been pursuing a bipartisan infrastructure deal with Republicans. They reached that agreement. They're in the process of turning that into legislative text. But all along, they've made clear that they want to go further and fund big parts of President Biden's domestic agenda, things like climate change and other social policy, through the reconciliation process. And a big first part of that was reaching agreement on the number that they wanted to target for this package. And that's what they were able to finally do this week. And we got some sense, some details, vague details at that, but some details about what they hope to have in it. I'm Anthony Adragna. This is Politico Energy. And believe it or not, I'm walking on air. Yep, believe it or not, it looks like climate policy is moving through. If the massive but still unwritten reconciliation package passes.
I'm not going to be optimistic until we have this done.
Today I talked to producer Carlos Prieto about what Democrats are hoping to get through. It's Friday, July 16th. In addition to climate, there's stuff related to drug pricing, to paid child leave, to some labor provisions. I mean, these are all conceptual, right? They have to be turned into text. But there is broad agreement, at least among the Democrats on the budget committee, that these are all things that should go in. With climate specifically, there's agreement to fund things like the Civilian Climate Corps, which has been a big priority for progressives. There's a clean energy standard that, at least the framework, Democrats say they want to hit 80% clean energy by 2030. And then there's things, there's tax credits for renewable energies, and intriguingly, there was what appeared to be a border carbon fee, which again, you know, is going to have to be turned into reality, but it's included in the framework.
Anthony, in context, how big of a deal are these climate provisions, or not even provisions at this point, plans that they agreed on?
Climate hawks in the Senate are really happy at this point. I think they recognize, as most Democrats seem, that, you know, this is going to be a long slog and that reaching a conceptual agreement as they have is not the same thing as passing legislation, even writing legislation. But from those that my colleague Zach Coleman and I spoke to, people like the Ed Markey's, Brian Schatz's, Sheldon Whitehouse's of the world, they're very happy with this top line agreement. And they think if they're able to follow through on what's been agreed to, that it would be a really significant down payment towards addressing climate change.
Was there anything on carbon pricing or a cleaner electricity standard?
On the clean electricity standard, yes. Democrats have agreed to pursue one that would, they say, reach 80% clean energy by 2030. The details are going to have to be filled in. But there's been a lot of progress from Senator Tina Smith, who's been working on a clean energy standard proposal for a while. So the clean energy standard piece, it's not like the Democrats are starting from zero, but there still are a lot of really crucial questions and policy details to be filled in on that front. On carbon pricing, we don't see anything specifically in the proposal, although intriguingly, it did mention a methane fee on oil and gas producers. But Senator Whitehouse told us that he's heard a lot of interest across the ideological spectrum for carbon pricing. We'll see if that enters into the discussions as Democrats figure out how to try to pay for this proposal.
It's just interesting to me that, you know, Republicans didn't sign into a $2.2 trillion infrastructure bill, partly because they said that it was way too wide-reaching. And so instead, Democrats got a $1.2 trillion bipartisan framework and this $3.5 trillion. Now, obviously, neither of them have been signed, which is just interesting that they traded in 2.2 trillion for what seems to be 4.7 trillion. Should we expect the amount of this bill to come down substantially just in the face of, you know, politics and the steps ahead?
I mean, this is the central question that Democrats are going to have to wade through in the months ahead. Is the $3.5 trillion price tag too much for moderates like the Joe Manchins, Kyrsten Sinema, John Testers of the world, as well as House moderates as well? Democrats obviously have razor-thin majorities in both chambers. They can't afford to lose a single senator from their conference. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting fight for them. They're going to have to contend with a progressive flank that thinks that this bill, you know, isn't as high as it should be, and moderates who are likely to blush at the price tag. And how you navigate those waters is going to be the real test if they're to deliver on this ambitious budget framework. Senator Brian Schatz told us yesterday he thinks they're only about a fifth of the way through the process. So people are sounding really optimistic, but I think Democrats are clear-eyed about the challenges ahead, but also just that they're not actually that far into it. The devils are in the details with all these proposals. We already heard some grumblings from Senator Manchin about some of the climate provisions. So people are feeling optimistic, but I think it's going to be a long slog before we're anywhere close to getting these things up for consideration, votes, and possibly signed into law. Also, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration sent a grim warning to the western United States on this year's wildfire season. Yesterday, NOAA said it expects drought conditions to get worse in parts of the country, which will increase the chances of wildfires in states like Montana, Washington, and Colorado. Already, more than 2 million acres have burned in the country, while almost half of the contiguous U.S. is in drought. And while seasonal rainfall is unlikely to replenish the water systems that have traditionally protected some areas from fires, the monsoon season will bring some relief to Arizona and New Mexico by the end of the month. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/warningenergy. And before we go, do you have student loans? It's okay if you can't remember, since federal loan payments have been on pause for more than a year. But even though the president campaigned on at least partly wiping out student debt, will Congress help him fulfill his promise? On today's Playbook Deep Dive, Playbook author Tara Palmieri and education reporter Michael Stratford on the fight on Capitol Hill over student loans and how much the White House could do on its own. Listen and subscribe to Politico's Playbook Deep Dive wherever you listen. Carlos Prieto is our producer. Raghu Manavalan is our senior editor of audio. Our senior producer is Jenny Ahmed. Irene Noguchi is Politico Audio's executive producer. Our editors are Matt Daly and Gloria Gonzalez. Some of the music in today's show is composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. I'm Anthony Adragna, and I'll talk to you on Monday.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Did you know that Chevron supports the ambitions of the Paris Agreement? In fact, they've even tied their executives' compensation to lowering the carbon emissions intensity of their operations. Because it's only human to help power a brighter future.